Okay, let's pray. Our Father, we do forget sometimes what we have in our hands, the Bible. Thank you so much for your wisdom in giving us this written book, your words, words that are reliable and true, and words that you've given us not just to entertain our intellect, but that these words might find a lodging in our heart and cause us to be transformed. First of all, in being transformed in our life so that we might truly know you and be born again to be saved. And also thank you for this ongoing work in our life as Christians to do with changing us and helping us be more like your Son. We ask this morning as we consider your word that you would help us in the things that we look at, this last part of Hebrews, that again you would speak to us afresh. Help us to have open hearts towards you and wills that are obedient to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I love, what an area of this world, is the Stirling Ranges, believe it or not. Love the Stirling Ranges, the Stirls, and I love going on camp down there, even though it's pretty tough camping. But you know, it's just so great. It's so good to go down there, and hopefully, in this very unusual year, we'll get down there at the end of September on the long weekend. Are you looking forward to it, for those who go? All right. Now, there's some pretty big highlights there. Like, for example, there is having beautiful, warm fellowship around a roasting fire, and especially if the Kirk brothers have stoked it. All right. There's flames galore. We also have accordion Kevin there sometimes. He was there last year playing his piano accordion, singing songs of praise to God. That was pretty special. There's also at night, when it's a crystal clear, cloudless night, the stars are phenomenal. It's just incredible what you can see. And of course, there is the climb. Yes, the climb, climbing up to the peaks and beholding the magnificent view from the top. So my favourite climb, we did it last year, is Mount Toowoonup. And Mount Toowoonup is a great climb. It's the second highest peak in the Stirling Ranges. And as you climb it, it's just fantastic because as you go higher and higher, and Mount Toowoonup's in the middle of the range, you get to see a spectacular view. It gets better and better as you go along. Higher and higher, better and better. Until you get to the peak and you've got an uninterrupted 360-degree view of the Stirling Ranges and the patchwork farmland around you. You can even see Albany. Wow, it's just fantastic. And when you're up there, as a Christian, you can't help but go, praise be to God. What a magnificent creation. Praise be to God that we can behold this magnificent view. All right, so why am I talking about the Stirling Ranges for? To get you all signed up to go this year? Well, it's not for everyone, I know that. I won't go into the details. It's a bit tough. But the reason why I'm thinking about this is because of the picture in my mind in regard to what we've been doing. We've been walking through the New Testament book of Hebrews. And I've got to tell you, as we've been walking through it, or metaphorically climbing through it, it's been getting better and better. But not just me. It's been getting better and better. Because as we've gone through the book of Hebrews, we have been seeing such wonderful things. We've been seeing the ongoing ministry of the Lord Jesus, which is a phenomenal thing to see. It's not actually in the other New Testament books as much as in Hebrews. We get to see how much better the better covenant is. We get to see where we're heading, you know, the city of the living God. We get to see such awesome things. And when you come to the end of the book of Hebrews, you feel like you're standing on the peak, better than a Mount Toowoonup. And you can look and you look at what we've done and considered and you go, wow, praise be to God. To him be the glory forever. And that's exactly what the Hebrew writer does. In a most splendid benediction, with a declaration of praise to God, we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Look at that. It's like he's standing on the peak and the Hebrew writer can't help but express, to you, O Lord, be the glory forever. Well, we're not going to look at that benediction straight away, though. You've just got to wait. There are a few other things that I'd like us to consider in this passage, the last part of Hebrews 13. And there's the three things, and then we're going to be looking at this wonderful benediction. The three things that we're going to look at are three attributes, characteristics, that should mark every Christian. Just so that it's easy for you to remember, they all start with the word S. That's just a preacher thing doing that, right? And they are sacrifice, submission, and something else. I just forgot it. Oh, that's right. Supplication. Supplication, you know, just to make it an S word, means praying for others. Not just praying for yourself. Praying for others. Supplication. So what are they? Sacrifice, submission, and supplication. And then we're going to look at that most splendid benediction that speaks of the glorious God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 13 and we'll read verses 15 and 16. It's amazing, isn't it? We've come to the end of Hebrews. Here we go. Last few verses. 15 and 16 says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You notice in two verses there that there's a word mentioned in both verses, and it's the word sacrifice. We are to offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And we are to offer another kind of sacrifice when it comes to doing good and sharing with others. Christians are meant to be characterized by being a people who make sacrifice. And we should be very well acquainted to this, because we have come to know an awesome God who has shown us so powerfully what sacrifice is about. We know that the Father sacrificed his one and only Son so that we might be reconciled back to him. And we know that the Lord Jesus sacrificed his life for us on the cross so that he might rescue us from the consequences of our sin and from Satan and from the sentence of eternal condemnation. Praise his name that he sacrificed himself to save us. So from this we can learn very quickly that sacrifice is costly. It costs God a lot. It costs God everything. It costs Jesus everything. And it will cost us a lot too. In fact, it's meant to cost us everything. So maybe Hebrews 13 verse 15 is quite interesting when it says that we are to offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. What does that mean? Well, that means when you praise God, it should cost you. We're going to talk about this. What does it mean to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God? What does it cost us? Well, think about it. There's some key things when it comes to praising God. The first thing is to be still. That's going to cost you. Stop doing what you're doing. Listen to Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. There's also another cost. Stop thinking about your problems. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about other people. Think on God. Dwell on his awesome character. Be lost in wonder, love and praise, as the hymn writer puts it in Love Divine. And also consider your blessings. Count your many blessings and be filled with thankfulness. There is a cost in doing that because we have to put aside what we normally do. And we've got to focus on God. That's why it's called a sacrifice of praise. I wonder how often we do this. So often we just do our praising just on the run. We come into church, we waltz in. We're meant to be considering it. Even when we come to church, I want to give a proper sacrifice of praise to God. To stop, even in my brain that's full of thoughts, to slow right down and focus on him and be lost in wonder, love and praise. To be filled with thankfulness for who he is and also for what he's done for us. In the scriptures of old, there was a time when David was given this offer, great offer, free wood and a free oxen, to make an offering to God, a burnt offering to God. And this is what David said to the man who offered this to him. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. Wow. He knew the principle. I'm not going to give God my, you know, what's the leftovers. It's going to cost me to praise his name. And that's how it should be. But also, Not only are we to offer up sacrifice of praise to God, we are to offer sacrifices of doing good and sharing with others in regard to other people. And this sacrifice God is pleased with. God calls us. One of the attributes of a Christian is that we do good to each other. That we share what we have with each other. There is a cost there, isn't there? There's time. There's effort. There's stopping what we would like to do for ourselves. There's perhaps financial support. And praise God for the great amount of money that has been coming in to support those who have been in need at the moment. That's been a fantastic thing. Many of you may not know how much, but it's been amazing how much has come in to support people during this time. How good it is to make that sacrifice, to do good, a sacrifice of doing good and sharing with others in need. This is what God calls us to do. This is meant to be something that is seen in our life. Yes, that's how it is. You know, just a little bit of a story here. I love bacon and eggs. Do you like bacon and eggs? Rightio. Well, in terms of bacon and eggs, when you eat bacon and eggs, the chook, what a sacrifice. Got to lay an egg for you. The thing of the pig. Cost the pig everything for that bacon. I like bacon, but it costs the pig everything. But you know, I know which way God would have us be. Does God want us to be the chook or the pig? I think we know the answer. In the light of what great sacrifice God has made for us, we are meant to be sacrificing also to God all that we have for His glory and honour. Let's now consider another attribute that should mark our life as we follow Jesus, and it's the one we would call submission. Just going to read verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So here we see very clearly that Christians are called to submit to leadership, and specifically it's talking about Christian leadership. In other parts of the Bible, like in our home groups, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we are also called to submit to governing authorities. We are called to submit to bosses. But here specifically, we are called to submit to leaders. That is to say, pastors and elders of a church. Those who keep watch over your soul. And I can't help, before we look into what that submission looks like, I can't help but see here in verse 17, what a great declaration is given here in regard to what any Christian leader or elder or pastor should be doing. It's there. What is it? To keep watch over the souls of the flock. To keep watch. And I'm going to say to you, I know that in this period of time we have lived over this past few decades, we have seen a lot of damage being done to the church because of bad Christian leadership, bad elders and pastors who have feathered their own nest, who have ego trips, who use their position to wield power and control over the people, who want the word submit to mean, which I learnt one time at a youth group camp, and this guy was challenged after, submit. Sub means under, mit means fist. That's not the submission we're meant to be encouraging. Under fist. No, that's right. That's not the way of a Christian leader. And a Christian leader is meant to be doing what? Caring for the flock. Keeping a watch over the flock. That means your eyes are upon people to love them and care for them, to visit them, to give godly counsel, to teach the word of God properly to them. That's what we need. How we need this. I've got to just share a little bit with you in terms of some of the things you read in the scriptures. I look at the words of Jesus to Peter. In John 21, after Peter had denied Jesus three times and then Peter is reinstated by Jesus' grace. And Jesus said to him, three times, do you love me? And every time Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And you remember what Jesus would say every time after that? He would say these words, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep. Exactly what we read here in Hebrews. Look after the flock that Christ has purchased with his blood. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, there's a wonderful section there. I'd like to read it to you this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. Listen to what good leaders should look like. I'm doing this because I would encourage you to pray for people who are in leadership, Christian leaders. Pray for this. And it says there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Wow, what a great passage. And of course, all those in Christian leadership will one day, as it says there, will stand before the great shepherd. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, it talks about that we will give an account of our shepherding before the great shepherd. And if we have done a good job, we will receive the unfading crown of glory. It's a pretty big deal, a huge deal, that God's elders and pastors lead God's people well. But what about for all of us who are not an elder or a pastor? What about us? Well, it tells us very clearly here that we are to submit to our leaders. And that's a God thing. God is a God of order. There's order right through the universe. He has set order in the family. He has set order in the church. God requires us to be orderly. And the order is this: even though pastors and elders are fellow Christians, even though we are at the same level in regard to Christ and us, we have a leadership given to us by Christ, and that is to watch over the flock. And you are required to submit to that leadership. And of course, it's going to be easier for you to submit to that leadership if the elders and pastors are being led themselves and are submitted to Christ himself. And that's the key for us, that we be submitted to Christ, and therefore you're able to submit to us. And submit means to respect and honour. It means to obey when leaders make a decision. And our decisions, I hope you know, we pray about it. We ask you to pray too. We seek God's face. We don't just make up things as we go along to suit ourselves. We're very conscious of God's glory and Christ's will for the church. We're conscious of the world and keeping the world out of the church so that we might be following Christ faithfully. We're not perfect at this, but this is what we seek to do. And to this leadership you are to submit. And it says there that it's a good thing to do. It's profitable for you. So what does that mean? Well, it's profitable for the leader because it's a joy to him, and it's a profitable for you because it means there's no hardness coming in. You know, like thinking of home life when kids are out of order and the parents have got to be a bit stronger. That's not nice, is it? So let us work together in harmony. There's a lovely verse. I remember this verse with my own children, but also in the church. In 3 John, the letter of 3 John, there's only one chapter, but verse 4, it says, "I have no greater joy than this, than to see my children walking in truth." And that's the greatest joy of all elders and pastors. It's not just coming to faith in Christ, but growing and walking in the truth and becoming more alive in Christ. That brings us great, great joy. All right. So let's now move to the next section we're going to look at, and that is to do with supplication. So that's in verses 18 and 19. "Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honourably in all things." In verse 19, "And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner." I don't have to tell you that one of the characteristics of a Christian should be prayer. Wow, the door's been open. We saw that in the book of Hebrews. We have boldness and confidence to approach the throne of grace. We should be always praying and loving prayer. But of all the things that we can pray for, something specific is mentioned here. And that's why I'm using the word supplication. Supplication means praying for others. And specifically, we're told here by the Hebrew writer, well, he's asking for prayer for himself. And how we need to pray for Christian leaders and elders. How we need to pray for those on the front lines. How we need to pray for our brother Rod, for our elders. I praise God that I know I'm prayed for too. We need to pray. We need to pray for our leaders, that they might be people who persevere in the truth, who are pure in their lives, There are key things in this hostile world that we live in, how we need to pray for each other, that we might be faithful to God. So I urge you to pray, to supplicate, to pray for those on at the coalface, at the front line, so to speak, how we need it. We read in other letters of the New Testament that very same thing, praying for opportunity, praying for doors to open, but specifically pray for your leaders. That's something really important. It might feel funny me saying this because I am praying, I'm one of the leaders here, but you need to pray. You need to pray for us. We live in a war zone. We live in hostile territory, and we will pray for you as well. We need to pray for each other. That supplication, praying for the saints, praying for leadership, be something we do so much more than we do right now. And then before we look at this blended benediction, otherwise I'm going to miss the last few verses. I want to just read verses 22 to 25 for completeness sake. And there's a few things we can learn there. So verses 22 to 25. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. This is just a brief letter. Do you like it? A bit long if you ask me, but it's great. But it's a brief letter. But listen to what it says. It's a word of what? Exhortation. Don't you love that about the Scriptures? But the Bible, I don't know about you, but it shakes me about. It can, and it can really challenge me. But actually, it's for my benefit. It's to exhort. It's to encourage. Praise God for His wonderful Word. So take it in. Bear with it. Bear with it when you feel like it's giving you a hard time. It's all good. Then verses 23, it says 23, take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. And this reference makes people wonder, who wrote this letter? Is it Paul? It might not be. It might be Apollos. We don't know. But we know who wrote it. The Holy Spirit. He inspired the Hebrew writer to write it. And then verse 24, greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Yes, you know how the Bible speaks about this greeting. Giving each other a holy kiss. Giving each other a holy hug. We can't do it at the moment. Mind you, I noticed after church, you guys don't obey the 1.5 metre rule. Which is good. We love hanging out. So anyway, don't know, it's lovely to greet, to be warm towards each other. We do not want any prickly pears amongst us. That's how it is. All right. Someone laughed out loud there. All right. And then the very last thing. I hope you're not thinking of anybody. All right. Then the very last thing is in verse 25, grace be with you all. I love that ending. Grace. Wow, this is the grace that we first met when we came to know Jesus. Overwhelming grace when our sins were forgiven. And to think of this grace has been continuing in our life. I love that amazing grace where it says, and grace will lead me home. Grace. And here the Hebrew writer finishes with, grace be with you all. And in the context of Hebrews, I feel it saying, may this grace be with you in fullest measure as you think about what Christ has done for you, and as you live a life of sacrifice, submission and supplication, as you live, may God's blessings be upon you more and more. Amen to that. Rightio, now we come to this most splendid benediction. I want to spend a little bit of time on verses 20 and 21. I've got to read it to you again. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equipped you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. Amen. There is so much in that benediction. We could do several sermons on this, but I'm not going to do that. Let's just look at the key things. The first thing that hits me is the wonderful, rich title of my Father, our Father. He is called the God of Peace. And as I look at that title, which is a very unique title for God, being called the God of Peace, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, but God the Father is being called the God of Peace, I can't help but think of what our great God has done to bring us into a peaceful relationship with Him. That's why we call him the God of peace. Earlier on in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, we read there, our God is a consuming fire. He is dangerous to us sinners because He's holy, and His holiness consumes our unholiness. It's dangerous to fall into the hands of the living God. But, what a big but there is, God has done incredible things to bring us into relationship with Himself. It is just hard to comprehend this. If you understood the intensity of God towards wickedness and sin which we commit, it's incredible. We could even say insane that this could be possible. That we could be made right with God. That we could be welcomed and embraced, loved and received. All because of what God has done for us in Jesus. So when we say to God, you are the God of peace, I hope you understand what we're saying. We are giving thanks to God for what He's done to bring us in right relationship with Him. As Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And in this passage, in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20, we see references to that very thing that has enabled us to be at peace with God. It says, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal God, eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Wow. Do you see there the references to God the Father raising His own Son from the dead, raising Him and giving Him an eternal and glorious body. And of course we know that resurrection was so important. And there it also mentions the blood of the eternal covenant. Jesus, according to God's will, shedding His precious, His eternal, His divine blood that has awesome power to cleanse the worst sinner, to cleanse all sinners. This is the blood of Christ. No blood of any animal could ever atone for sin, as the Hebrew writer puts it. But the eternal blood of Christ has saved us. And God has brought peace between Him and us because of His Son Jesus, who died for our sins, shed His blood, and was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. We enter into what we call the eternal covenant. The Hebrew writer has made big mention of this eternal covenant, the better covenant. What's this better covenant? Oh, the summary of it is this. Your sins have been completely forgiven. There should be a response to that. Absolutely. Past, present and future. You have a city that is your home. The city of the living God is your true home. You're going to be there one day, all of you who trust in Jesus. You have, in this eternal covenant, one who from the throne watches over you, who helps you, who understands your weaknesses, who loves you and intercedes forever and ever for you. This is the eternal covenant. It doesn't get better than that. It's so amazing. We have been brought into this eternal covenant. Wow. And I've got to make mention to that great title of Jesus. He is called the Great Shepherd of the Sheep. What comes to mind when you think of that, the Great Shepherd of the Sheep? I can't help but think of that parable that Jesus gave, the shepherd who went and sought after the lost sheep. That's Jesus. He sought me. I didn't find Him, He sought me. He found me and brought me into the fold. What a shepherd. In John chapter 10 verse 11 it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Wow, He's like no other shepherd. Every other shepherd leads the flock, but this one gave His life for the flock. He gave Himself into the jaws of death. He died for us so that we could be spared from eternal death. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, these great words, 24 and 25, for He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds we are healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. That's the shepherd we have. And there's a wonderful passage in Revelation chapter 7. At the end of chapter 7, it says in verse 17, speaking about the future, and the Lamb in the centre of the throne shall be their shepherd. and shall guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. This is the shepherd. He will be our shepherd forever. He will forever guide us and lead us and love us and care for us forever, here on this earth and in the life to come. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't just die for us. He continues to shepherd us. I love that picture from the throne. He looks upon us. He sees us and loves us, prays for us and cares for us. Wow, what a shepherd. He is like no other. And you know, this amazing God, the God of peace and the one who is the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus our Lord, it's a benediction, these two verses. And the Hebrew writer is asking God something. And it's found in verse 21. May he equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. And this is a request of God. How would God answer such a request? It's a yes. It's a yes from heaven. Because God is so generous. God is so good. God is so gracious. He hasn't just saved our souls so that we can get to heaven. He wants to bless us. He wants to equip us. He wants to empower us that we might live life fully for the glory of his name. He wants his children to radiate the light of Christ. He wants us to hold on to that gospel and let it out to the whole world. God wants to use us, not just wait for us to get to heaven. He wants to equip us. He wants us to be really good at sacrifice, at submission, at supplication. He wants us to be good at these things, and he will help us. That's the thing. It's not just like God commands us, you must do this, you must do that. God is so willing to equip us and help us in all that he asks of us. Isn't that so good of God? It's not just all up to us. So we come to this very last bit. And it says there at the end of verse 21, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What an ending. What an ending. I feel like I'm standing on that peak and I'm looking and I'm seeing most amazing things, and surely the conclusion would have to be, not to us, O Lord, be the glory, but to you. To you be the glory. To you be the glory. To you, O God, our Father, who gave us the Son. For you who have put your Son in that place of intercession forever. To you who raised the Son from the life and caused his blood to cover our sins. And to you, Lord Jesus, to you who sits upon your throne, ever living to intercede, helping us and encouraging us. To you be the glory forever. To you be the glory forever. We cannot say it enough. I look at my life, I've got to say to you all, to him be the glory forever. You might be good at sport as I was, you might be good with intelligence and do really well at uni. It's nothing compared to what God has done. God saving us, drawing us to himself, allowing his Son to take the fall for us. To him be the glory forever. He has a place in heaven for us. To him be the glory forever. The big thing for me from the book of Hebrews are these things. We have come into a far better covenant than the people of old. We have a glorious city to live in one day, a Father's house, Jesus calls it, where we'll have room for each other, room for each one. We have all these blessings, and we have Jesus. I've said it a few times now, ever living to intercede for his people. Praise his name. I just feel like this English just fails you right now. To him be the glory forever. There's not even any song we can sing that even gets close to it, but we have some great songs. But, you know, you think of how it is. To him be the glory. I feel like falling on my knees and giving thanks to God for the awesome God he is. Who am I that he should care for me? Who am I that he should love me and save me? Praise his holy name. The end of Hebrews has come. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we're going to sing a song. The best one I could think of was Glory Be to God. Amen. Let me read before I pray that great benediction. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. Amen. And let me finish. Grace be with you all. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for, as we come to the end of this fantastic New Testament letter, so inspired by your Spirit, we thank you for what we have considered. And we cannot help, as we think about the things that we have looked at, to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honour, not to us, O Lord, but to you, because you have done things beyond compare. You have done awesome things, and that word even we use so often is just like, doesn't even capture it. We thank you that for us, though, it's a joy to understand these things more and more. And may that happen, Lord. May you open our hearts. May you help us to see and behold the wonder of your love, your grace, and what you've done for us in Jesus. Thank you that you are our Father, the God of peace. We have found beautiful peace with you through Jesus. Thank you for the great shepherd of the sheep, whose precious blood has brought us into this eternal covenant. Thank you for the way that you have not only saved us, but you are desiring so much to equip and help us, your children, that we might live lives pleasing to you. And to you be the glory forever and ever, today and tomorrow and forever, here on this earth and in glory forever. Father, we love you so much. We adore you. Help us to commit our life fully to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.